Good to be in church. Good to have the beautiful sunny weather out there.
Yes.
Almost perfect, man. It's been good weather this weekend. A little hot, but man, good breeze. Wasn't super humid. We had a great weekend. My family got to see my nephew graduate Friday night. Never been to an outdoor graduation ceremony before. They had it in their stadium there, and thought it was pretty neat. It was perfect weather for it. Really. Really, really good time. Proud moment for me to see my nephew graduate, especially through the times that they dealt with in their school, dealing with COVID and all the stuff that was going on with that. And just to have him stick to it and graduate, because I know he's kind of like me. School was not his favorite thing in the entire world in the high school stages. Super proud of him and just to see him graduate. And then yesterday we had a little picnic. With our bowling league, so it was nice just to be out there, and we didn't do much besides sit there and enjoy the weather, but nevertheless, it was just nice to be outside and enjoy the beautiful weather we've had. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful to be in church today. I'm looking forward to see what God has for us, but just a beautiful day to be a Christian, beautiful day to be saved, and I'm thankful for this church. Before we start, let's see, since you are here with us this morning, I haven't seen you in a while, I'm going to ask Brother Lance, would you open us up with a word of prayer?
Father, we do thank you that we can be together. I thank you especially that we can be here. Please bless this time, Father, as we preach the word to tell us, to encourage us, tell us about your son, and we love you more.
Amen.
Amen.
If you would, turn with me to page 591. If you're able, please stand. We're going to sing out to the Lord today, this morning. We're going to sing Wonderful Peace, page 591. peace that passeth all understanding. Thankful for the peace the Lord can provide in any trial, in any hardship, and even times that are great, the peace He provides. So thankful for it. If you would, turn with me to page 720. Page 720. Jesus loves even me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Down every aisle, cast out every thought. kids can be dismissed for Sunday school.
Amen. I'm glad that I'm whiter than snow this morning through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a blessed thing to have. All your sins forgiven, washed away. Bye. It's a blessing to hear them sing, isn't it? I don't know about you, but when you hear a little kid singing out, there's nothing greater than that. The babes crying forth the praises of God. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing to hear. And with enthusiasm, glory to God. Amen. If a little kid can sing out with enthusiasm, surely we as adults can sing out with enthusiasm about our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Brethren, there is nothing in this world worth shouting for outside of Jesus Christ. If you can go to a ball game, or you can go to a football game, or a wrestling match, or a volleyball match, or a golf match, well, you can't shout in golf until they hit it off the tee. But after they hit it off the tee, you know, you don't want to disturb them golf players because they can't handle adversity when they're up there at the tee. Every other sport, they're screaming and yelling at you. Golf, everybody's got to be quiet while I hit this off the tee. Amen. You got to handle somebody yelling at you when you're playing a sport. Right? When you're in a sporting event, it's only natural to yell at the opposite team. To try to distract them, to try to get them to mess up. Why? Because you want to win, correct? This stuff going on today, brother, you might think differently on this. When I play something, I play because I want to win. I don't want to play a sport. Let's just all have a good time and we'll just, everybody get a medal. No, I want to play to whoop you. I know Brother Lance here has wrestled. Some of the other men here, some men have wrestled. I wrestled when I was in school. You don't go out there, come on, let's be friends and enjoy this time together. No, you're going out there to win. And that's how we ought to be for Jesus Christ, too. We ought to go out there to try to win. I know we're already winners, but go out there with some enthusiasm, some joy, because we're serving a great king. Amen. Take your Bible this morning, Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter number 5, verse number 21. Genesis 5, verse 21. Continue on here in our study this morning. Hopefully we'll be looking at both Enoch and Noah here this morning. But Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. Here we're pulling out with Enoch. After all these generations and men passing away, we get on here to Enoch. But the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Thank you for this beautiful weather, dear God. I thank you for the sunshine. Lord, just the opportunity to come out to church this morning. Lord, I pray you be glorified, honored, magnified, lifted up, praised. Lord, with all that we have, dear God. Lord, I pray you'd help us this morning, Lord, that we wouldn't hold back. Dear God, you're worthy of it. And so, Lord, I pray we'd come into your house with praises and with thanksgiving. Lord, that you be lifted up this morning. Now we ask for your wisdom and guidance. Help us to get all that we can get out of this story this morning of Enoch. Lord, help us to learn from him. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21, five chapters into the Bible, but we got all these generations going on. It says here in chapter 5, verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. You know, one thing that's that helps you bring things into perspective is having children. I know not all people can have children. I understand that. Not all people are married. I get that. But one thing that does, at least for my life, it sobered me up a little bit, is when I had my first son. I wasn't living right. I wasn't doing right. Me and Melanie were married. But I was basically living for myself. But when I found out I was having a son, it was like, whoa, I now have somebody that I'm responsible for, that I'm accountable for, that there's another life in my life now that I am responsible for. And it was like a great responsibility all of a sudden fell upon me. And both Melanie and I were like, we need to get back right with God, because now there's another soul in our home that we're accountable to. And so the Bible says here that Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. So after he begat Methuselah, he lived another 300 years, but he's walking with God. Enoch walked with God. I guess the question or the definition here of a walk, we know what walk means, but it means to move slowly on the feet, to step slowly along. It says also to advance moderately. In Scripture, to live and act or behave a particular course of life. So Enoch's life, his course of life was about the things of God. Now we know by just looking at the time frames and the timelines that Enoch knew Adam. Enoch knew Adam. Adam died about, from what some say, about 57 years after Enoch was born. So Enoch, up almost to the point to where he has Methuselah, because he doesn't have Methuselah till he's 65. So Enoch could have, probably did know Adam, which is very, very interesting, because look how many generations we're in, and Enoch still has the possibility to have connection back to the man who was in the garden that God created. You see, from Adam to Noah, man had no excuse, because there was a living example for the majority of that period of the man who God created. Not only the man who God created, I don't know how long Eve lived, but she lived a good time as well. Her testimony as well. There was a testimony there for this world, even though Cain left and decided to leave the presence of God. But Enoch walked with God. The question this morning that I have to ask is, how is our walk with the Lord? Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 8. How is our walk with the Lord? Genesis 3 verse 8 says this, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day." Walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It's very important to realize and recognize that God desires to have a walk with us. Not only for Him to walk with us, but also us to desire to want to walk with Him. How can two walk together except they be agreed? How can two walk together except they be agreed? We already know that God desires to have a walk with man. God desires that fellowship. God desires that love. God desires that communion and talking and intercourse with mankind. God desires that. That's why God made man. God wanted fellowship. God wanted someone to be there with Him because He wants to be there with them. But one thing we know about God is God's not going to force that. The Lord's not going to force somebody to walk with Him. He's not going to grab them by the hand and say, "Come on, you're coming with me." That's not a walk together. That's a seizure. That's a kidnapping. It's called kidnapping. God does not kidnap mankind. God says, "I'm going to put it out there and let you make the choice whether you want to walk with me or not." But we do know that God desires a walk with Him. So look at Genesis or Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4. So we know that God desires a walk, but God desires a walk now that is in a newness of life. You see, the way to walk with God now is you have to be born again. You cannot walk with God now unless you're saved. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4. Romans 6, 4. "Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into" what? Death. "We're buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father," look what it says, "even so we also should walk" in what? "In newness of life." In newness of life. You can't walk with the Father by Jesus Christ unless you have that new birth. Walk in a newness of life. You know, one of the issues today that we have is that after we're saved, we're given the ability to walk in a newness of life. But how many Christians still walk in the vanity of their own minds and thoughts? Look over to Ephesians chapter 4. Remember, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 17. Ephesians 4, 17. Paul gives a warning here to the church, and he warns them about walking after the ways of the Gentiles. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. He says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in what? In the vanity of what? Their mind. Paul gives a warning here. He says to the church at Ephesus, he says, listen, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth, from this point forward, don't walk as other Gentiles walk. In what? The vanity of their mind. The vanity of their mind, their thoughts, what they think in their mind of how things should be done or how things should be accomplished. No, we ought to base and our thoughts and our mind off of what does the Word of God say. Not what I think, but what does the Bible say? He gives a warning here because Christians can still walk in the vanity of their mind. The vanity of their mind. Walking in the light is how we walk with God. Now, Genesis chapter 17. Look at Genesis chapter 17 and verse number 1. Genesis 17, 1. Genesis 17, verse 1. Abraham hadn't heard from the Lord for about 13 years. And here in Genesis 17, 1, we find out now that Abram is about 99 years old. The Bible says in verse 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. God waits 13 years. Why? Because Abraham walked in the vanity of his own mind, his own thoughts. He tried to do things. He let his wife influence him. And I say this again, that husbands, you can take counsel from your wife. I take counsel from my wife. I value my wife's opinions, but ultimately it's what is God telling me to do. Too many men are still swayed by what their wives think or what their wives want to do rather than what does God say to be done. Most men today are afraid to stand up to their wife. They're afraid to say, no, this is what we're going to do. Because they're afraid of the repercussions that might come from that. Wives ought to submit themselves to their husbands. Not only submit themselves to their husbands, the Bible says to reverence their husband. So if any woman's a saved woman, she ought to reverence, she ought to submit to her husband's decisions. That's Bible. Husbands are afraid of upsetting the apple cart. Brother, I don't know how many situations you know right now that the man is now spiritually blind because he would not stand up to his wife. Brethren, we're not going to that church no more. Yes, dear. I know a couple situations right now. The man is not in church this morning because the wife said, we're not going there. Yes, dear. And guess what happens if they're saved? They start losing their spiritual discernment. They start losing their spiritual insight. And their walk with God is, for lack of better terms, has become retarded. And I don't mean that in a bad way. They have lost, they will not walk, they cannot have a right walk with God until they're willing to stand up and do right in the home. It ain't going to happen. They can still pray, they can still read their Bible, they can still go to church, but until they're willing to stand up and do what's right, because God's telling them to do what's right, they will be spiritually retarded the rest of their walk with God. Because they will not do what God said to do. 15 years, God is silent with the man that is a friend of God. Abraham loved God. Abraham had a walk with God. Abraham listened to God. But for one instance in time, he decides to listen to his wife, to listen to her reasoning on how it should be done. And God is now silent with that man for the next 13 years. You see the same principle in the garden. Here, you take of the fruit and eat as well. He listened to his wife. He wasn't deceived. The woman was deceived. And was in the transgression, the Bible says. 13 years, no, nothing from God. But God in his mercy, God in his grace, comes back around again and says, Abram, you're 99 years old now. It's been 13 years since I talked to you. Look what the first thing he says to him. And he said to him, I am what? Say, I am God? No, I am the Almighty God. Look, there's some authority behind that. Any man that don't have some authority behind him, something's wrong. A man ought to be a man of authority. We got, brethren, there's some weird stuff creeping into society today to where I read an article. I ordered some more books and stuff to come in, and I want to order one on transgenderism that a Christian organization put out. And it said this in the book, that it's a little short pamphlet, it's not very long. It said an older woman that was a Christian was walking through an airport in Denver. I don't know when it was, but she was walking through the airport in Denver, and she saw up out in front of her, as she was waiting in line to go through, she saw a couple there, a man and a woman, and they had a little baby, and the man was holding the baby. And you know how people are, especially older women. And they love being around babies, and they'll come up, oh, what's your baby, blah, blah. So she saw this, and she figured in her mind, when I get up close enough to him, I'm going to talk to him too, because she liked babies. And so when she got up to him, she said, oh, such a beautiful baby. What's his name? He says, not a he. Or a she. That's what this man says to this woman. This baby has no gender yet till it's old enough to decide what it wants to be. Thus, you can just call it baby for right now. You know why that's occurred? Because men won't be men. Look, this morning, brethren, I am placing a blame on men. It's too easy today to blame women. Oh, my wife. No, it's not your wife. It's you. It's you. And most men won't take responsibility. They want to pass it off. Well, it's my wife's fault that this happened. I did my wife. No, you, sir, you. Men have failed to be leaders in our country today because they're afraid to stand up and be men, especially if you're white. I'm going to throw that out there. Because I saw numerous articles around here in this Lehigh Valley of women preachers in the area calling out old white preachers. And you know where she does her Bible studies? In the tattoo parlors. And in the art, I was in the morning call, I believe, a couple months ago. It was in the morning call. And she calls out that we need to get away. And she specifically said, old white preachers. That's what she said. That's not racism. Why is it got to be old white guys? Because men won't stand up and be men. And when a man does stand up and be a man, everybody thinks he's mean. And he's just being a man. He's just being a man. Anybody ever watched the movie Gone with the Wind? You know one of the famous scenes in that movie? Was it Scarlett? Was that her name? What was happening with her? She was going crazy? Now, I'm not advising this. Because I wouldn't do this to my wife. But he slaps her across the face and says, snap out of it, honey. Now, most people today be like, ugh. Brethren, do you know in some of the southern state laws, it's still in the law books that you can take your wife to the courthouse steps and spank her? Did you know that those were actual statute laws in the founding of our country that in some states it was legal to take your wife to the courthouse steps and spank her? Why would they put such a law in existence? For men to be men and to realize a man needs to rule his home. And just because a man rules his home doesn't mean he's a dictator and doesn't mean he's mean, doesn't mean he's nasty, doesn't mean that he hates people and he's angry. No, God expects a man to be a man. God expects a man to be a man. And if a man is a true Christian man, how is he supposed to love his wife? As Christ loved the church. As Christ loved the church. He's to love his wife. Three times it's mentioned in Ephesians that a husband is to love his wife. Not only as Christ loved the church, but to love his wife as he would love his own self. So any man that's a Christian man, he'll do right by his wife. Why I got off on that tangent there, but God desires for men to be men. Abraham didn't stand up to his wife. He decides to listen to her and her counsel and goes into Hagar and has a child, Ishmael, and God is quiet now for 13 years because Abraham didn't walk with God. Abraham walked in the vanity of his mind, and thus God was silent for 13 years. God comes back around again in his mercy and grace to Abraham and says, Abraham, I want you to first realize, Abraham, that I am the Almighty God. He says, walk before me. Abraham, God says, Abraham, I want you to walk before me. You walk with your wife, but you walk before me. Listen, God took a rib out of the side of man to make the woman. A man is not to lord himself over his wife, nor is he to be under her feet. Look, they're to walk side by side with each other, but the man is to lead. There's always got to be a leader in any situation. You put two oxen in a yoke, One of those oxen still has to lead, even though they're both in the same yoke. Ask any farmer that used to use oxen. You always, one of them always led, even though they were in the same yoke. There always had to be a leader. And a husband and wife are in the same yoke in Jesus Christ, but one still always got to lead. I'm not saying this morning that one is better than the other. I don't believe that. But there has to be a leader. You, some of you men that were in the military, you have a leader, correct? If you have a platoon, if you have a battalion, if you have a squad of men, in all those instances, there's still a man that's a leader over each one of those groups of men. Right? You have a sergeant over some privates. Then you have a lieutenant over the sergeants. Then you have a captain over the lieutenants. Then you have a major over the captain. Brethren, the principle is everywhere that even though you have a group of people, you still need a leader. You still need a leader. You can't have five people making one decision because you'll never get anywhere. Eventually, one man's got to make a decision. The President of the United States has his chief of staff. But then there is a man who is ahead of that chief of staff. One time I got a chance to fly around with him. He was a Marine Corps general, 4-star, the toughest man I ever saw in my life. I, as an airman, was scared to death they'd even be in his presence, and he was a very nice man. But you want to talk about intimidating? He was like 6'4", 6'5", trim. In his uniform, not probably one bit of body fat on him, and he was on up there in age. 4 stars, I mean, I was like, oh, you know, I don't even want to be in your presence, and this is a 4-star general. I'm thinking, wow. Sir, whatever you say, I'll do. That was my mindset. This is a man that's an authority. And it was an awesome picture to see this man as he just walked. He walked with authority. And that's how we ought to be as men. He was nice. He was very nice to me. Very nice. Got my picture taken with him. Very nice man. But you could tell he earned my respect instantly because of the way he carried himself. Men ought to carry themselves as men and to be a man. So, let's move on to something happy. All right. So, the Bible says here, God says, be thou perfect to Abraham. He says to Abraham, I want you to walk with me. I'm the Almighty God. And Abraham, also I want to throw this in here. Be thou perfect. Be thou perfect, Abram. I want you to be perfect. He says basically here, means by the word perfect, is complete, finished. Abram, look, I've started something with you. You've allowed me to work in your life. Abram, I want you to finish out this course that I've got set for you. Abram, I want you to walk with me, and I want you to be complete. I want you to accomplish what I've got set out for you. You see, as born-again believers today, brethren, there is a course for each one of our lives that God desires for us to finish. Everyone in here that's saved, God has got a purpose for your life. God has got a course for you to finish, and God wants you to complete it to the best of your ability as He works through you in your life. Take your Bible, look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. To be complete, having no deficiencies, perfect. Look at Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 4. Colossians 2, 4. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 4. Colossians 2, verse 4. Look what the Bible says here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, look what it says, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Look what he says next, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Be careful that you're not spoiled by wisdom. It says here, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. What is philosophy? It's the love of wisdom. It's wanting to have the explanation for all things. Paul says here to the church at Colossae, as they walk with Jesus Christ, walk with him, he gives them a warning. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Brethren, we can figure out anything now with a touch of a finger of the reason on anything. If you have a cell phone, a smartphone, or a computer, you can type in there, what does this mean? And within milliseconds, you'll have millions of results on what that means. Wanting to have a knowledge of why everything occurs, you take too much upon you. I don't think God ever desired for man to know everything of why everything happens and occurs. Because then man gets lifted up with his wisdom rather than getting lifted up with God's wisdom. What is God's wisdom? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know what God's wisdom is for you? God desires for you to fear him. Not learn 50 million things in the Bible that have no effect on your life and doesn't cause you to fear the Almighty God. You see what happened with Abram? He started going off of his reasoning, his wisdom on how he thinks this thing should be accomplished, and it caused him 13 years of silence from God because he went off of his reasoning, his wisdom. Rather than fearing the Almighty God and walking in God's promises and waiting on God. You see, God wasn't moving fast enough for Abram. And sometimes when God doesn't move fast enough in our life, we decide and we bring forth the answers rather than waiting on God to give us the answer. And that's when we get ourselves into trouble, when we provide the answer rather than waiting on God to bring the answer. You see, you can Google everything and anything nowadays. There's a book, anything you want to believe, you can find a book on it to prove your point. Like you like taking bee pollen, right, for allergies? You can find books and books and books on how bee pollen is going to help you for allergies, and I guarantee you can probably find books and books and books on how it won't help you. I guarantee you. Everybody's got an opinion. That's part of the problem with our society today. God never established a desire for everybody to hear everybody's opinion. That's one of the problems with Facebook. Everybody gets to voice their opinion. I found something the other day talking about all this stuff that's going on in the world today, and it says most people today were lacking true education, but we have more information than we've ever had before, but we lack good education. So much information, but no character and right education to be able to handle that information. Men and women believe whatever they hear that comes across the internet. It's true. Says who? And you know what all this information does to you as well? It brings discouragement into your life. I guarantee it brings discouragement. You know that shooting that occurred down there in Texas? Right? 100 years ago, if something like that happened, how long would it take to get to Pennsylvania? Weeks, if not months. Well, now we have it instantaneously, and guess what it immediately does to you? It makes you depressed. I'm not putting down or downplaying what happened in Texas, but I don't think God ever intended for us to get that information that quick. And not only do you get that information that quick, you get the flooding that's occurring down in Miami. You get this shooting out in Chicago. You get this happening in Washington, D.C. You get this wildfires out in California. You get what's going on over in Ukraine. How people, all within 5 minutes, you get all that news, and you can't tell me it doesn't make you depressed. God never meant it to be that way. The devil knows exactly what he's doing. What can you do for the people down there in Texas? And I'm not mean. You can do nothing for them right now. You might be able to send them some money. You might be able to pray for them. But that's about it. What are you going to do about the wildfires in California? What are you going to do about the Ukraine? Brethren, if you keep trying to be a help to every bad thing that's going on in this world, you will go crazy and you'll want to quit. This is why, brethren, and I'll get into it later on, this is why it's so important to have a walk with God. Please hear me this morning. Please hear me this morning. If you try to help every cause that's out there, you will go, number one, you'll go bankrupt. Number two, you'll lose your mind because you can't handle all of it. The only one that can handle all of it is God. And what did the devil say? And ye shall be as gods. God's the only one that can handle all this information. But see, man loves philosophy. Man loves wisdom. Man loves to know the reason and why things happen everywhere. And God says you can't handle it. can't handle it. Walk with God. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus heal every leper? No, he didn't. Did Jesus heal every individual that had a physical ailment? No. Did Jesus go to every individual and tell them who he was? No. Actually, he told individuals multiple times to be quiet. Now, some aren't going to like what I'm going to say here, but God's never intended for us to witness to every single person we see. The principle is in the New Testament by our own Savior. There were times when he healed somebody and he said, be quiet and don't tell nobody. Why? Because if they did, they'd hinder what God was trying to do. Sometimes God desires for us just to be quiet and let people just examine us and watch us. But there was an instance in my when I first got saved. I worked for a vending company, Cromer Vending Company, down there in Charleston, South Carolina. It was the first job I had in the military, loading up vending machines and Pepsi and Coke machines. And I had a really good boss there, Tom Alexander. Loved the man. He was a wonderful man, wonderful boss. Worked for him almost 6 years. Wonderful man. Came from California, came over down to South Carolina, tried to open his own business, didn't work out, so now he was a manager for this vending company. And I always wanted to witness to him. Many times, he was heavy on my heart. Every time I go to try to witness to him, God was like, don't say nothing. I'm thinking, Lord, why, God, this man has been wonderful to me, Lord, why can't... Now, he knew I went to church. He knew I was a Christian because I had requested when I went in there to have every Sunday off. And they granted it to me. They gave that to me. So he knew that I went to church. He knew I was a Christian. But God would never give me an opportunity to talk with him. And for years, it frustrated me. Like, Lord, why? Every time I go to say something, I was like, nope, not the right timing. Nope, not the right timing. You see, everything in this world is done on timing. Those of you that are mechanics in here, if a car's timing belt is off, can that car run? No. If a pitcher's timing is off, he's going to get eaten up. That's a carnal illustration. Another carnal illustration is if a comedian's timing is off on his jokes or her joke, they're not going to go far because the time, everything, Ecclesiastes, Solomon says there's a time for everything. And sometimes there's a time to just keep our mouths shut. And then there's a time to speak. There's a time to kill. There's a time to make a lie. There's a time to pull down. And there's time to build up things. There's a time for everything. And so I waited and I prayed and I waited and I prayed. And about 4 years in to working with this man, one day, it was, I don't know if it was a Thursday or Friday night, I pulled my truck in. It was just me and him there. I was the last one in. And I had an opportunity to talk with that man for like an hour or two. Wide open door for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wide open door. But it was all in timing. You see, if you go out, don't do things unless God's telling you to do something. And I will say this as well. My pastor used to hit this home hard back home. If you're on the clock, you're on the clock for that business, not to be an evangelist. Don't let the devil pressure you. I'm being dead serious. I believe that as sure as I'm standing here. If I go to work... Look, I'm working a little part-time job right now driving students, teaching them how to drive and giving driving tests. A little part-time thing. When I'm in that car with that student, I'm not giving them the gospel. It's not right for me to give them the gospel. I'm working for a man. He's paying me to teach them how to drive, not to preach to him. Sometimes our timing's off, and it creates more of a problem than glorifying Jesus Christ. And it brings a hindrance rather than a help. Brother, I'm dead serious as a preacher and a pastor. And we need to take heed to these things. Because we're trying to do good, but in reality, the devil is using it to cause a problem for the gospel of Christ. Because all of a sudden, people come around and they hear, la, la, I don't want to hear anything you got to say. They automatically shut their ears. You know what Jesus did? He went around and did what? Good. You want people to hear you? Go around and just do good. Help them out. Be a blessing to them. and then wait for God to provide the open door. And when he provides that open door, go through it. See, we're missing timing today. You know why? Because we're not walking with God. You see, that requires a walk with God. I knew some men. I grew up with some men when I first got saved. They felt like they gave a tract to everybody they saw, and sometimes it embarrassed me when I was out and about with them. Because the timing was all off. Because right after they give them a tract and they sell some type of joke, off-color joke, none of that. A Christian man, I'm standing right there with them, and I want to run and hide in a hole. You just gave the woman a tract, the cashier a tract, and now you're going to say something off-color? Forget the tract. Might as well just rip it up there and throw it in a trash can. Why? Because independent Baptists today, some churches, this soul-winning stuff is so pressured upon people, they're doing things that God's not in. Because that doesn't require a walk with God. You see, to require to have a walk with God means you have to be holy before him. You have to be still before him. You have to wait on him. You got to wait for that still, small voice. But we stay so busy, and in our busyness, we think we're spiritual. Because if you got the right personality, you can be busy about all kinds of things. We got people that are outgoing, and just because they're outgoing, they think they're spiritual. No, not necessarily, my friend. You got somebody like me, shy, that's not my personality. So that's not going to be my battle. But somebody that's outgoing and they can talk to a wall, they might confuse them talking to a wall as God being in everything that they do. And that might not be the case. God says, walk with me. We're going to come back to that. But I want you to see, go back to Genesis real quick and see what the Bible says here concerning Enoch. Back to Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. I thought this thing jumped off the page at me. Now, it might not jump off the page to you, but I had never seen this before in this verse. And I was like, wow, look at this. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, look what it says in verse 24. Or 24, yeah, look at this. Look what the Bible says. You can't tell me this King James Bible isn't God's word. Look, God had his hand in writing this book right here. He did. Look what it says. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Exactly. I'm going to read it again. Look what it says. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Exactly. Do you get what I'm saying? See, she's shaking her head. How do you walk with God? By you becoming nothing. Enoch was not. Exactly. That's how he could have a walk with God. Glory to God. That gives me goosebumps when I think about that. He was not. Exactly. That's how he was able to walk with God. What did John say? He must increase, I must decrease. Jesus must increase, I must decrease. Right? Jesus said, no man can come unto me unless he takes up his cross and follows me. When you take up your cross, what does it happen to you? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that now liveth through me. Enoch, I believe, got to a point that in his life, it was no more, absolutely nothing to do with Enoch, and had everything to do about God. And that's why God took him. Because God said, look, there's a man. He's crucified himself. It's not about him. It's all about me. He desires to let his whole life to be about me, and I took him. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. You want to walk with God? It can't be about you. And it can never be about you. It can never be about you. So you cannot have a walk with God unless you'll be agreed. Because look, Brian, if you don't mind, come up here a second. I know it's going to look a little weird, but please come here for a second. Look here, for lack of illustration, just forgive me here. I'm not saying this irreverently, but give me your hand a second. Let's say we're walking together. Say I'm God and I'm trying to lead your life, right? But when we get up to this point here, I want you to go that way. All right, so we're walking together, we're good, and this is God going this way, and he's trying to go that way. Now, God's just going to stay right here because God says we're going this way, and if he keeps fighting, he's fighting against himself. Do you see? Many of us walk that way. How can two walk together except they be agreed? If we're not agreed, we can't walk together if we're connected. Why, he goes that way and I go this way. It will not work. And if as two men and we keep trying this, we're going to start affecting all these people here because if he's pulling that way, I'm pulling that way, I guarantee you, I'm at least affecting her. Because we're going to be tumbling over each other. Because he's strong and I got some a little bit of muscle to me too. He's probably going to pull me over to chairs. But if he pulls me over chairs, I'm affecting Miss Barb, affecting Miss Cheryl, Miss Gloria, Miss Lil, right? Do you see the illustration? How can two walk together except they be agreed? God's not moving. God's not going to move. And God said, we're not going to continue this walk until you get back in line with where I want to walk, with my plan for your life. You can fight all day long. I'll just stand here and wait until you're ready. And then as soon as you're ready to start walking, then we'll start walking together again. Do you see? Do you see the point I'm saying? Enoch walked with God, and he was not. That's how he could walk with God. Because Enoch walked with him, he walked with God, and Enoch was not. It was not about what Enoch wanted. It was everything of what God wanted. I hope I get this principle. I hope I get this principle. It's not what Chris wants. It's what does God want. It's not what Ray Street Baptist Church wants. It's what does God want. And if in order for Ray Street Baptist Church to be all Ray Street Baptist Church, Ray Street Baptist Church has to come to naught. Ray Street Baptist Church has to come to realize it is nothing outside of Jesus Christ. And then when Ray Street Baptist Church and its members realize that they are nothing, because any man when he thinks that he's something, in reality he is now nothing, it isn't until a man and woman becomes to a point to realize they are nothing before God, then now you can start walking with God and have power with the one you're walking with. Do you see these principles this morning? Enoch walked with God and he was not, and God took him. God took him. Because Enoch wasn't concerned with Enoch. Enoch was concerned with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, dear God, you put up with my stubbornness. Oh, Lord, thank you, dear God, for your mercy and for your grace and your long-suffering. Lord, I love you for that, Lord. I'm thankful. Thank you, dear God, for putting up with me. But Lord, I pray you'd help myself, and I pray you'd help this church and these believers here this morning, dear God. Help us, dear Lord, to learn these principles, dear God. Lord, help us not to be moved by our emotions, by our passions, by what we think, dear God, in the vanity of our own minds, dear God. But Lord, help us to walk as you would have us to walk, and to grab a hold of your hand, dear God, and follow you. And Lord, be obedient to that still small voice. Lord, help us to have that discernment. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and honor and praise. And we ask these things now in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's take a little break here. If any men are interested in praying, we'll be praying here in a few moments in my office. Amen.